You can open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. We're going to continue our study there in verse 9 through 13. Before we do this morning, I did want to make a comment about this week that has just passed, which certainly has been difficult and tragic. In several different, very evil attacks on innocent people, and especially and also the assassination of Charlie Kirk, whose primary ministry was speak the truth in love, represent Jesus and the Word of God, and was having a tremendous impact, had been by God given a tremendous voice across our nation, particularly on college and university campuses, among people of that age group, which was very powerful, and I believe, and effective in impacting our nation and the world. I fully understand why the enemy sought to silence his voice. I think we can kind of relate maybe to the church in the book of Acts, whenever a man who was likewise a young man and blessed of God and given a voice and a witness and a ministry that was just mushrooming, exploding with blessing and fruit, and the religious leaders of his day had him assassinated, had him stoned. And of course I speak of Stephen, but I will remind us, by the grace of God, now God didn't do that to Stephen. Wicked men did that, men who were deceived. But God took it, and God used it. And through it, he sowed a seed that he watered on the road to Damascus and converted one of those religious leaders and transformed him into the Apostle Paul, who gave us, by God's grace, a large portion of the New Testament. So I say all that to just say, as sad and grievous as these events have been, that we would pray, that we would believe and trust our God. Remembering, just as we talked about in this prayer that we have studied now, that Christ gave us, and as he brought it to a close, reminding us there is an evil one and we need deliverance from him. But he is not on the throne. He does not reign with unlimited power. And he will ultimately, one day, fully, totally, and completely be cast in the hell forever. And God will reign in his kingdom. Will prevail. And we pray that even for our nation in these days. I think we'll go ahead and pray before we read the scripture today, just in concluding those remarks. So let's pray and then we'll read our scripture. Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you that our hope is in you. Thank you that the Holy Spirit, whom you sent, your very presence among us, you called in your word the Comforter. And I thank you that he comforts your church, your people, Lord, this widow and her children, Charlie's extended family and friends, and this nation, Father, and the other families that have suffered through this week and the violence that has taken place. Thank you that you're the comforter, that our hope is in you and our peace, God. And thank you, Lord, that you have promised us and you have declared it even in your word that darkness will be fully and completely overcome through Christ, who is the light of the world, as he shines in us, whom he calls the light, also by him. Lord, speak to our hearts this morning by your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 11, verse 9 through 13. Please follow along as we read. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And that's the title of my message today, taken from that last sentence, much more. Much more. Now the words ask, seek, and knock, in the language Jesus spoke, in the day he spoke it, had a particular tense to them, which meant to do and keep on doing. It was like present continuous. It is exactly what Jesus intended to use, those words with that tense, lining up completely and perfectly with what he said in the verses prior to that, which he followed up the prayer that he gave us to pray and to learn from, since he was asked to teach us to pray by one of the disciples. Of course, we spent several weeks looking at that prayer that he gave us, clearly with the emphasis and the main focus in the front of it being his kingdom, his name, and his will. I want to read this passage that we're looking at, 9 through 13, from the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible is one which takes the tenses of the original words and sort of fills them out, fleshes them out, you might say, a little more than we would normally speak. But verse 9 through 13 in the Amplified Bible goes this way. So I say to you, Jesus, of course, ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who keeps on asking persistently receives. And he who keeps on seeking persistently finds. And to him who keeps on knocking persistently, the door will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, that is, sinful by nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask him? I believe that's why Jesus gave us this prayer that wasn't full of questions, statements that were, or sentences that were questions, but rather declarative sentences. Because he's teaching us to come with the absolute confidence, with that boldness that we talked about last week, that confident assurance that it is our Father's will and his great heart to welcome us and to hear us and to engage with us, because he has invited us to participate with him in history. He is our Father. And he invites us with our whole heart. In fact, in one place in the Scripture says, "And you will seek for me, and you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart." Persistence. Not selfishness, but heart engagement for another's sake. That's why he uses in the prayer, our, us, we. Because we recognize it's not just about us. In fact, it's not primarily about me. It's about you. It's about us. It's about we. It's about our. And it's all for him, our Father. His kingdom, his will, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he gives us this illustration before that of the friend who came at midnight in need, and our recognition of our having nothing and having faith that our friend, our Father in heaven, the King of the kingdom, has more than enough and to spare, and is assuring us, if it really matters to us, so much that we will come confidently with bold assurance because of the character and love of our Father. And by his promise, we will not have to take no for an answer. Now, I know that ain't good English, using two negatives in one sentence. But you get the point. The first and primary focus of our lives and of our existence and of our purpose in being is God. His name, his honor, his character, his love being esteemed above all other. His rule, his kingdom, his influence coming and replacing this present kingdom of darkness in this world with Satan's influence of evil and corruption and greed and deception and destruction. And his will, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, being accomplished in every way. To that end, because we are so certain that that is his heart, we boldly persist. Because we love him. Because we know and recognize and experience how much Jesus loves us. To that end, we boldly persist wholeheartedly, engaging God our Father in faith with confidence, confident, consistent expectation. So we ask and keep on asking. We seek and keep on seeking. We knock and keep on knocking. Our Father will answer from heaven. He has given us that assurance. Jesus himself stated it again in John chapter 12. He is so intent on us getting this message, this promise, this bold assurance. If I wrote it down in the right location, be good if I got in the right chapter. Jesus says in John 14, verse 12, "Most assuredly." Most assuredly. Now, he could have just made this statement. But he didn't just make this statement. He introduced it with "most assuredly," which means emphasizing most assuredly, for certain, absolutely, I say to you. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Now the reason he meant that, said that, has to do with the Holy Spirit. We'll get to that in a minute. Then he says in verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. In his person, in his character, and with his heart, with the intent of his life, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now that should embolden us. I mean, those are promises from the Word, from the mouth of the Son of God, who cannot lie. God always speaks the truth. He is truth. Jesus is God. He is truth. And he has spoken with such promises. Our Father will answer. We will receive, find, and have the door opened. And much more then. Much more then. What does he mean by much more? Well, I think it's exactly what he said. How? If we, knowing that we are sinners, knowing that we are tempted, knowing that we fail, that we, apart from Him, are absolutely evil, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You could ask for nothing greater, for nothing higher, and you could receive nothing more wonderful, because what he is saying is he will give himself. That's who the Holy Spirit is God. Everything that we read in the New Testament that's wonderful and good and that brings results that are the kingdom of God and that set people free and make people whole and change people's lives, every bit of it is the work and the action of God with us in the presence, in the power of Holy Spirit. But he asks us, and he uses these words and he gives us this story of our Father, this prayer to our Father, and this story of our friend, and then again back to the illustration of a father. And he gives us all of that with this concept of persistence. And like I said, it's nothing about trying to wear God out and get things out of his hands he doesn't want to give. But it's having our whole heart engaged. It's what we really want. It's what we really desire and what we're really after. That's what we will usually have. Kind of like a fellow I read about. This man visited his doctor and going through his physical, and the doctor checked him over and he commented, "It looks like you get a fair bit of exercise." The man replied, "Oh, yeah. In fact, just the other day I walked 5 miles over rugged terrain as I climbed over rocks and trees. I also waded along the edges of a lake, pushing my way through tall thistles and reeds, and even slid down sandy slopes getting sand in my eyes." The doctor was quite impressed. He said, "Well, you're certainly a dedicated outdoor enthusiast." The man replied, "Not really. I just love to play golf, and I'm really bad at it." He's kind of like a fellow I know who works with me. He works with us at Johnson. He loves golf. He works overtime in the evenings so he can have an afternoon off to go and play golf every Thursday. If you want to know where he's at and he's not on campus, he's probably at the golf course. But that's what he enjoys. That's what he loves. That's where his heart is. Now, I don't mean that obviously in discrediting his family or that they're not important and precious, because indeed they are to him. But that's what he's engaged in, because that's what he desires. That's what he enjoys. That's what he's committed to. And I believe that's what Christ is telling us. If we seek his kingdom and his righteousness first, if Jesus really is Lord to us, then we can count on it. If we're engaged with him, he will be engaged with us. And that's what prayer is about. Connecting with God. Heart to heart. Loving him. And wanting what he wants. Giving ourselves to what he has given himself to. Which Jesus is our example of. I can tell you a story that illustrates. We lived in Dothan, Alabama. Well, actually, Vicki was born and raised there. All of my family was from there, except for my younger sister. And then, of course, we moved back there. But we were there, and after we got married and got involved in ministry, and there was a group of people, men and women, praying for God's kingdom, for awakening, for transformation, for the glory of God's kingdom and God's power to come to our city, to be manifest there. You can call it revival, you can call it awakening, whatever you want to call it, but they were committed to praying for it. And there was a group of men that I got to have the privilege of knowing who began meeting every Thursday morning, virtually every week, and praying for God to do exactly that. For what Jesus came and lived for and declared to begin to be clear and revealed and real in our city. And I came into it after they had started several years later, after I met them. They'd been praying for several years by the time I got there, and then I had the privilege of being involved with them as men from a lot of different churches, but people who shared the same commitment, the same faith, the same desire for the kingdom of God to invade Dothan, Alabama. And I met with them, and we continued praying for some 12 years after I started with them. And in the last few years of that, we started called it a Bible conference, but like a week of meetings where everyone could come and worship and have praise and the word and just be together, not a particular church or a particular denomination, but a place for God to come, an opportunity for God to answer that many years of prayer. Well, this particular year, 1982, they started having all-night prayer meetings for 2 or 3 weeks before the Bible conference was to come. And I was attending those, and we were just praying and seeking to connect with God for him to do what he wants to do in our city. In one of those prayer meetings, we were in a church. You know what a panic bar is on the door? It's called a panic bar, but you push that bar in on the door and the door opens. It releases a latch. Well, anyway, about 12:30, I mean, you know what happens if you have an all-night prayer meeting, which typically starts maybe about 7 or 8 o'clock and usually lasts till about maybe 1 or as far as people can go. But what starts happening about 12:30 is people start getting kind of closed eyes and you might start hear a little snoring and stuff. But anyway, about 12:30 that night in this particular one of the fellows just got really inspired in his praying, and that verse from Revelations 3 and verse 20 where Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." And that verse inspired him, and he was praying, and he just got up and just walked to the back of that auditorium where we were having that prayer meeting. And like I said, some were praying and some were dozing, I guess. But he went to that back door, that panic bar, and hit that panic bar as hard as he could and flung that door open and invited the Lord in prayer. And awakened everyone who was there. There were some folks that said later, they had awakening in their experience. But there was just that level of prayer and intensity and seeking for Jesus to just come and fill our city. Come in, Lord Jesus. Came time for the meetings to start. They had rented actually the Civic Center. This was the first time it was outside of a church building. It was in a public building. They had rented the Civic Center and just asked God to fulfill and keep His promises and to glorify Jesus among us. And just asking Him to move, and move He did. His Holy Spirit began to move and just draw people, and that Civic Center seated around 3,000 people, and that's about how many were there. And God just came. I mean, He's here now. He's always with us. He promised that. But just in a certain glory and way, He kept His promise and moved among us. And so instead of a week, for 5 weeks, Monday through Friday, every evening. And in the latter parts of those weeks, even in morning services, when hundreds would come, and all kinds of churches and across town and people from out of town were coming. And Jesus, His name, His character, His love, His power was just present. People would come and worship at night, and people would come forward and receive prayer and ministry, and people just didn't want to leave. The presence of God was so wonderful. We'd sit there on the chairs, and our little kids who were little then, they'd be asleep on the floor. People just didn't want to leave because of the presence of God. People were saved. People were healed. Miracles took place. Demons were cast out. People were set free. Generosity overflowed, and needs were met, and lives were changed, and God was glorified. And from there it spread to many other cities for months to come. Jesus promised, if we would give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give Holy Spirit? And by the way, the "thee" is added on. It just says Holy Spirit, actually. Give Holy Spirit. Give Himself to us. That's what God created us for. That's why we exist. It's for communion, fellowship, friendship with Him. The Holy Spirit is God with us now. And that is God's greatest desire, is to know you and be known by you and me. And all who will come to Him through Jesus Christ, His Son. That's what you and I and all the world were created for. And that will be the consummation of creation in the end, when we and He enjoy that level of friendship and relationship and life together in paradise for eternity. And everyone can come. That's what He said. Everyone who asks. I love it that it's not restricted to a certain few or to a particular race or a particular anything. Everyone. Just as John 3:16 says, whosoever will. That whosoever will believe in Him. So everyone can come if they will, and everyone can ask. Everyone can seek and everyone can knock, and His promise stands sure. He will respond. You won't be disappointed. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word, for Your grace, and for what You're doing among us. Even in our nation, Father, it's been a dark week this past week. But Lord, this is Sunday, the day You rose on. And in faith, Father, because You rose from the grave, Lord Jesus, we have hope. We have assurance that You will overcome, that You will be glorified, that the lost in our nation and the world will hear the gospel and know the truth, that hatred will be dissipated and replaced with the love of God that was revealed at the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, let your love wave the ocean of your love. Overcome the darkness, the hatred, and the deception of Satan's influence throughout the world. And let your name be glorified through Jesus Christ, your Son, by the power and presence of your Holy Spirit in us. In Christ's name we pray, amen.